People in New York can fly cross-country for less than $120 or telephone the West Coast for a nickel a minute. Deregulation and competition make those low prices possible, but there are some industries, notably electricity, where deregulation has been accompanied by rising prices. Residents of Las Vegas have reacted to that by supporting a government takeover of their local power company. In part three of a Morning Edition series, NPR's Scott Horsley explores what happens when deregulation doesn't deliver.
As the sun sets behind the Spring Mountains west of Las Vegas, a million electric suns light up the strip. No one does neon like Las Vegas.
Viva Las Vegas with your neon flashing and your one-armed bandits crashing. All those hopes down the drain. Viva Las Vegas!
In a workshop a few blocks off the strip, neon sign maker Greg Martin is turning glass tubes into a wall sign in the shape of Tina Turner.
Now this one's going to be pink skin, red dress, and orange hair. Because I'm the first one to admit neon can be real loud and tacky. And so I try to put another edge on it and still show that there's some magic left.
Deregulation was supposed to magically reduce the cost of powering all that neon in Las Vegas. Policymakers here and throughout the country gambled on a vision that electricity could be traded just like other commodities, producing greater efficiency and lower prices.
Enron Online will change the markets for many, many commodities. It is creating an open, transparent marketplace that replaces the dark, blind system that existed.
As we now know, it didn't work out as promised. First, a shortage of electricity on the West Coast sent wholesale prices soaring. Then Enron, one of the champions of deregulation, imploded in a wave of accounting scandals. Finally, other energy companies like Reliant Resources, Mirant, and Calpine saw their bond ratings tumble to the credit junkyard. And without good credit, it's hard for those companies to build the power plants Las Vegas and the rest of the growing region needs. In 2001, the typically laissez-faire state of Nevada revoked its electric deregulation law, and now Las Vegas may go even further with a government takeover of the local electric utility. The Southern Nevada Water Authority, a government agency, has offered to buy Nevada Power for $3.2 billion.
We are the largest single user of electrical energy in Southern Nevada, for openers. We can't do our job unless there is a reliable, stable energy supply for Southern Nevada.
Pat Mulroy is the Water Authority's general manager. If the authority succeeds in taking over Nevada Power, she promises to lower electric rates in Las Vegas by 20%. The authority can afford to do that, she says, because of its favorable bond rating and its tax-free status. In addition to lower rates, Mulroy says public ownership would guarantee a more reliable power supply. She argues the long lead times needed to build power plants are ill-suited to the demands of a deregulated market.
That's the problem with the power industry. Power plants are not going to be built unless you already have a power shortage, because the investor wants to know that he's going to get his money back immediately. That's not how you build a power plant. There are large transmission lines that will not be built if you have to show a quarter-to-quarter profit.
Nevada Power has rejected the buyout offer and refused to talk for this story. But the voters of Las Vegas seem to be siding with the Water Authority. In November, voters were asked whether the legislature should allow a government purchase of the power company. Peggy Mays Johnson ran the pro-purchase campaign, which was badly outspent by Nevada Power.
I got 8 mailings from Nevada Power, very slick mailings, and every single one of them said government, big government taking you over. Well, for a lot of people, the government is a very scary thing.
Despite that concern, the voters of Clark County endorsed the sale by a margin of 57% to 43%. The vote is merely advisory, but it's a neon sign from the public that, at least in Las Vegas, the free market approach to electricity was a failure.
For people, they're looking at what it's going to cost them. And I think that's the whole thing with deregulation. I think that, you know, all these issues are thrown out to people with a promise that this is going to be a benefit to you. That's what makes them support something or be against it. Is this going to cost me more money? Then I'm against it. Is this going to save me some more money? Then I'm for it.
Just a few years ago, deregulation was touted as the way to save money in electricity, and public power was dismissed as a dinosaur. Across the country, though, public power companies actually charge less for electricity, on average, than their commercial counterparts. And in California, at least, they've been more reliable as well. David Freeman used to run the Los Angeles Department of Water and Power, one of the few California utilities that didn't suffer blackouts during the energy crunch 2 years ago.
I made it to the front page of the Times and was called a luminary because the women of Los Angeles didn't have to give up their hair dryers or anything. I was the Jewish guy that kept the Christmas lights on. I mean, the popularity of public power was intense in the public power cities.
That popularity is not universal. San Francisco voted against public power in November, and deregulation of electricity is still the federal government's official policy. But that policy is drawing criticism from a growing chorus of skeptics, including Freeman.
The economists love to believe that the market will work. They worship the market as a religion, but a completely free market won't work for electricity. There's an old expression that good judgment comes from experience, and experience comes from bad judgment, and we've had a lot of experience.
The experience of Las Vegas suggests that if deregulation doesn't deliver electricity reliably and affordably, customers will look elsewhere. They're not concerned with ideology, but with results. The question now is whether policymakers will be equally practical. Scott Horsley, NPR News, Las Vegas.